This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on economic reforms and global investments. The participants are Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist.
Shubhamoy, the last thing which Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman said during the conference called for multinational companies, and she called for real-time kind of mechanisms to resolve tax disputes. How do you see this as a tool to further improve ease of doing business in India and also a revenue source for government?
She's talked about quite a few interesting things that the government needs to take care of. And overall, I would say that the ease of doing business that she's talking about is seen with some very clear set of measures in the government beginning of this year. Now, the finance minister can take some credit that those measures are in force, in place, and for considerable amount of time. So those measures can now be used as practical tools by business to be able to plan their policies, strategies. So that is, I think, one of the very major plank of this entire issue that is being flagged.
Chuma, if I can remember correctly, two schemes launched during last 2 years. One was Sabka Vishwas, which is a legacy dispute resolution scheme for old cases of erstwhile service tax and central excise duty. At the time of launch of that scheme, total of rupees 3.6 lakh crore was locked up in around 1.83 lakh cases at various quasi-judicial, appellate and judicial forums under service tax and central tax, the central excise put together. Under the scheme, more than 1.61 lakh applications with amount involving rupees 87,000 crore have been received. And finally, government is expected to realize around rupees 40,000 crore. Now, during the current fiscal, the government launched Vivad Se Vishwas scheme to resolve old direct tax cases. As on November 38, 2019, there were a total of 4.83 lakh cases pending with tax earlier amounting to rupees 9.32 lakh crore. And now till then, the government has managed to collect over rupees 72,000 crore in the scheme. Now, what needs to be done to make such schemes, especially to resolve a tax dispute, more effective?
Major element of tax areas which the government needs to sort through, the government needs to get to be able to get its hand on. And according to me, the major step that needs to be done is the predictability of the tax administration. This is one area where still have to go a bit ahead. Why is it so? Because what happens is laws are good. Laws need to be in place in their particular for what they're meant for a particular amount of time for people to be able to respond to those laws. In India, the problem with both direct taxes and indirect taxes is that every year there are a series of amendments that are brought in, and those amendments take so much time for the industry to digest that by the time that they do so, there's a fresh set of laws again coming along. But that is something that we need to really think about very carefully. For instance, I'll be very happy if a budget comes in 1 year where the minister can actually get up and say that, you know, my laws are all working fine, my rules are all working fine. A good government necessary in India should be able to say that, no, we don't need to change laws. And the minister is actually indicating that the government is actually thinking in those directions, that the changes should be made as minimum as possible. That is where our compliance burden can really come down in terms of laws, make it much more cleaner, streamlined for industries to be able to reconcile. Big takeaway will be that the government to be able to say, no, I am not going to clutter the Income Tax Act or GST with series of exemptions and other stuff to actually make it a accountant's delight, but a nightmare for the taxpayer.
Now the big question is about the indirect taxes, especially about the custom duty and central excises only for petroleum products and a few other products only. So now the question is, doing away with exemption in indirect taxes will be a crucial factor in decision making by foreign investors?
Absolutely. Look at the exemptions where they are concentrated in indirect tax. One of the very major places where they are concentrated is the case of electricity tariff, in the case of oil product, petrol and diesel. And even if we leave out alcohol for the time being, petroleum product and electricity are inputs for most companies. If those do not get into the tax chain, then that need to be built in. And the moment we start building in these set of basically exemptions to give industry the relief that because these items are not in the GST, automatically the tax collections become A, reduced, and B, if there is much more of compliance issue that comes. The minister has, in fact, recently talked about the fact that there should be reduction in the number of rates. In fact, Mr. N.K. Singh, as the chairman of the 15th Finance Commission, has said that there is a necessity to think about it much more clearly, how many rates should be there in GST. So these are good ideas. Exactly what we need, that we need rates which are consistent and rates which are applicable across sectors and rates which do not offer exemptions at all, I would say. And the exemptions should be totally phased out, as I say. And that would be wonderful news because that gives certainty.
The system of exemption was replaced with the system of refund. That means if you are eligible for any kind of concession, if you are eligible for any kind of benefit, first you pay the tax and then you take the refund. Now the issue is that same kind of system be introduced for all kind of taxes, whether it is the indirect taxes or the direct taxes, that will simply done away with the exemption and that will also make the things easier from the government point of view as well as from the taxpayer's point of view.
When the government levies the tax, and if the tax is levied across everybody, whoever is in the tax net without exemption, then what happens is the government and the people get to know what is the total amount of tax that is available. That is a very transparent number. And based on that transparent number, then work out what will be the refunds that should be given. So those numbers come directly in the budget. The budget books become much more cleaner. It is seen, it's visible, and it's clear for inspection to everybody concerned. Exemptions often cloud the amount of tax concessions that is actually being offered to an industry. And that's not fair. When we are talking of Atmanirbhar Bharat, we should be having industries which are able to work within a tax framework which the government has built. The amount of refunds that is available to them should also be visible to the people at large. And that allows for a very clean tax administration. So I think that that's a very good goal to move towards.
See, one of the contentious issue which was raised during the conference about the finalizing advanced pricing agreement. There are people who are saying that it takes almost 5 years to complete the APA. Now, Finance Minister herself is admitting that this time is too long. Now, how this is impacting a foreign investor in terms of cost of investment and how this can be resolved, I mean, lesser time for completing the APA. There are more than 800 APA applications pending now.
But the APA system was brought in, the Advanced Pricing Agreement, as a tax facilitation tool. How was the tool supposed to work? That before a company came to India, it could approach the tax administration and what will be its tax liability. And the Advanced Pricing Agreement was supposed to give that company a framework of what will be the taxes, what is the possible liability depending on its line of business, and therefore give the company a certainty. First of all, as you say, that there's a huge amount of pendency in the APA. The other problem that has come along with the APAs is also that even though the APAs were supposed to be accepted by the department, the number of cases where the department has actually gone in appeal against the APA agreement is phenomenal. And this has definitely curtailed the benefits of the APA. Both the taxpayer as well as of the tax collector isn't much there with the APAs. And that's very sad because that is exactly what we should be needing in terms of transparency. So there should be clarity right at the beginning, what is the tax liability, and then the tax should be paid. But when APAs don't work, there's a problem. And that, I think, is something which we must examine very closely, that why is it that such a major tax satisfaction tool has fallen into disuse? We talk about often of tribunals where cases are delayed, tax tribunals, the FISTAT and the Income Tax Appellate Tribunal, the ITAT. But there are court cases. APAs were supposed to provide an alternative to going to court. Now, if the APAs themselves are subject to abuse, then it obviously shows that there's a larger systemic problem here. And today, the tax computation is quite automatic, even for companies, thanks to the CPC and all that. There shouldn't even be a room for doubt. So altogether, while the tools have all come into place, the implementation and the results from based on the tools don't seem to be happening. And that's really worth thinking about.
Let me bring here one quote from the finance minister during the conference. And she said, and I quote her, "All enterprises, MNCs and India Inc., big, medium, and small enterprises are facing a reset exercise in doing business. We will have to make sure that policies are right to make India an attractive investment destination." End of quote. Now, Shubham, what kind of new policy initiative one can expect now, and especially when budget is just 70 days away? Can we expect some kind of big announcement in budget?
One of the things that the Prime Minister has also talked about in another venue about reduction in income tax, and I think that is something that is definitely could, I mean, since he's mentioned it, I would presume that he's obviously not speaking off the cuff, and there is a discussion on that already on. That by itself could be substantial if there's a change in the income tax rates. And I would think that the personal income tax rates should be in for a relook, because essentially in terms of tax policies, these are the only two changes that can be done. The indirect taxes, as you know, is now entirely handled by the GST Council. So there can't be any changes there. And the government should actually take the effort to ensure that it doesn't bring in any further stress or to disturb the model that has already been based by the GST. So that, I would say, is very important. Also, and this is another very important thing, India has announced for 13 sectors production-linked incentives. Now, let's understand this, that for all these sectors, the giveaway that the government is expecting to be about 1.5 trillion rupees. The government has already said that the money will be given out as subsidy to the unit. So if that money is going to be given and the industries have got it, we should therefore then stick to the fact that these are the incentive structures that we have already thought through, given to them. Bringing in fresh sort of sidewise or side alley incentives for another set of industries will actually be counterproductive. It doesn't help us because we are saying that we want to build our capacity in these 13 sectors. So we should stick to that. And they are well chosen 13 sectors which the government has made.
Prime Minister Narendra Modi had a meeting with over 20 fund managers recently, first in group and then one-on-one basis. What kind of impact do you see on the investment environment because of such meetings?
The Prime Minister made, obviously, a very strong pitch for investors. And last time you and I, we did discuss that this was the right time to actually make the pitch because it's the end of the year and next year's fund allocations will be made. So this is a good time to get the fund managers to understand what role India is planning to do. Also, the data has also come in, and all data is showing that India is in for better recovery than was expected at one time. So that's fine. But within the meeting, quite a few of the companies did express their apprehensions about the tax issues. And remember, we have some tax issues that we are getting into new. If this was one is equalization levy, the other is tax on the digital economy itself. Now, India is going to be a very strong, a very major player in the entire digital economy globally. The government could actually come out with a roadmap of taxation for the digital economy. There is a roadmap that has been done earlier, but now with so many companies having come in and the last couple of years being what I might call so upsetting in terms of lots of changes that's happened globally and nationally, and India wanting to take advantage, we've talked about the PLI scheme. Probably a tax framework for the digital economy might be a wonderful idea, and if that can be thought about, actually value to the budget exercise.
During the first 5 months of current fiscal, we saw FDI increasing by almost 13%. Do you expect that this trend to continue during the remaining part of fiscal?
All indicators of movement, there hasn't been any slowdown of movement. So one would expect trend to continue. However, November has seen COVID activity in some of the states, notably Delhi, and to some extent in a couple of other states. Overall, the incidence of COVID has come down. So it's a bit tricky to say in what shape will be the trend of tax collections. So definitely there is going to be, again, one slight dip could possibly come. But overall for the year, I would expect that the trend of recovery that has happened in the tax collection.
So you talked about the tax collection and also about the FDI flow. Or do you expect the same thing to continue?
There's a seasonality in the FDI flow. The seasonality is what happens is that typically it was November, December, the FDI flows are never very buoyant unless there's some particular deal which changes the equation. So I would expect the FDI flows to again recover towards the beginning of next year, which is as it should happen. I would rather be looking at the FII flows, and that's interesting that if you look at the FII trend in November, that has actually been what we now call the foreign portfolio investors. That has actually been very substantial. In fact, 1,40,000 crore net addition, November has 40,000 extra. So that is a very substantial net expression of confidence in the Indian economy. And obviously, we can take advantage from the fact that when lots of economies are showing fair amount of, wobbliness in terms of their economic direction, in terms of political stability, India is actually showing a very good amount of resilience. And that is something that is helping the short-term money to come in.
As we are talking, the market is showing kind of FPI flow as the Sensex is 44,000 plus and Nifty is 13,000 plus. Thank you, Shubhmaya, for talking to us.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on economic reforms and global investments. The participants were Shubhamoy Bhattacharji, economic analyst, and Shishir Sinha, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.com. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.